What are voters going to be presented with when they go to their polling places in that first Tuesday after the first Monday?
Well, when they show up, a lot of people are going to forget that they needed to have an ID with them, because Indiana does have a voter ID law. So make sure you have an ID. It's issued by either the state of Indiana or the federal government. It has to have your name on it. It has to be current. If you have that, you're ready to go. And then when you get in, the next thing that troubles people occasionally is that you'll be asked whether you want to vote in the Republican or Democratic primary. In Indiana, you have to declare one. You don't get to vote in both of them, and it actually is part of your official public record, so to speak. That turns off some folks. But those who make it through those two steps and get to the machine itself, you'll actually see a pretty short ballot, because this is an election just about municipalities, those cities and towns throughout the state.
There's a lot to talk about on just the Allen County ballot here, and I want to get to the top line. It's the Fort Wayne mayor's race. Again, Mayor Tom Henry running for a third term. Many will recognize Councilman Mitch Harper on the Republican side. How do you see each of these party primaries kind of shaping up?
Each one of them has four candidates, and so a lot of people, when they get to the machine, they're going to say, wow, that's a lot of people I'm looking at, and who do I want to vote for? And some of the names are familiar. These are people who've run for office before, in addition to whether it's Mayor Henry or Councilman Harper. I think most people who looked at this race in advance sort of handicapped it and said, well, obviously the incumbent is most likely to get that nomination. But then the Wayne Township trustee, Rick Stevenson, jumped into the race, and people said, well, maybe that'll get a little interesting. And on the Republican side, they said Mitch Harper, sitting member of City Council, former state representative, somebody who should be able to put forth a pretty credible campaign. He knows what he's doing when he talks about how to do these things, but he actually hasn't raised a whole lot of money. So there are people who say maybe that race could be a little more exciting. So both, while I think people who are betting on it are still voting for Henry or betting on Henry and Harper, but each of them has a little something to think about in their primary.
Does the fact that there are so many candidates in each of these races matter that much to the folks we think are kind of leading the pack right now?
It really does. When you think about it, just from a straight math standpoint, when you have two people running, that means you need 50% of the vote plus one in order to win. If you have three people, you suddenly only need 33% plus one. If you have four, 25% plus one could give you the victory. And that could mean that some sort of small niche is the way you're going to be able to find that victory. Now, of course, in this case, Harper is a longtime activist within the party. He should be able to pull a really high percentage. Tom Henry, the same thing. The two of them really are the strong, strong front runners. They just, you know, they have to put in a little effort here, which is not necessarily a bad thing in a primary.
Well, we'll keep an eye on the mayoral race as it shapes up here. Now, this is also the first time in decades that the city clerk's job is truly open, as longtime clerk Sandy Kennedy is finally going to retire. I'm guessing not everybody knows, Andy, what the city clerk does, though. So can you tell us a little bit more about the position and what you're seeing as these primary races shape up?
I think when it comes to the clerk's office, there are really three things to think about in Fort Wayne. One of them is this is the person who actually keeps the code, the municipal code. So takes all the bills and resolutions that are passed by the city council and keeps them and updates the municipal code so that people around the world can actually look up and what the rules are in Fort Wayne about land use planning and those sorts of things. Not particularly exciting stuff, but very important stuff. The second thing that the clerk does is actually serves as the clerk for the city council. This is the person who helps to keep track of what the city council has done. If you've ever wondered how a member of city council voted on an ordinance, you can actually call the clerk's office and someone in the office will tell you how that person voted. That's the second thing. And the third thing, and this is the one that most people probably are familiar with, whether they knew it was the clerk's office or not, is parking control. So those folks who are driving around making sure that your meter is not expired and that you're parked in the right zone, that's something else that falls into the clerk's office.
This is a partisan position as we look at the ballot here. I'm just curious why.
Well, it's a partisan position. You know, what a lot of people don't realize is that when you look at the difference between turnout in partisan and nonpartisan races, believe it or not, turnout is higher in partisan races. And people may find that sort of counterintuitive, especially if they're a member of the minority party someplace. They may be thinking, you know what, we have these great candidates, and if only we could remove the party label, suddenly they would get so many more votes. But the reality is the party labels actually serve a purpose. They're an indication to people about where that candidate or those candidates stand on issues, how they might approach governing in general, and it makes it a little easier for voters to vote, which is why you see so many partisan elections around the country.
We're not going to be able to get into all of the Fort Wayne City Council races, but I did want to hop across a few of them here. And let's take a quick look at District 2. Now, this is the incumbent Republican Russ Yale is unopposed in that primary, but there are two Democratic challengers who will vie for the seat for the general.
This is interesting because you have folks who are coming from two sort of backgrounds or the ability to access people in two different parts of the community. Michelle Hill was the campaigning manager or very involved in Gina Burgess's campaign from a couple of years ago. And Michelle Merritt comes out of the business background, a former employee with what we now call Greater Fort Wayne. And so they have two different niches to go to for volunteers and for dollars and for support. And that's actually a race that would probably be pretty hard to predict if somebody were trying to just based on the backgrounds of the two individuals. That'll be a good one to watch.
Now, the fourth district is an open seat here. We have three Republicans, new faces, relatively new faces, and as far as city government goes anyway, vying for the Republican nomination, and Rusty York on the Democratic side, unopposed for the Democrats. How do you see the Republican race shaping up there?
Well, the Republican race is interesting. You know, even the candidate some vote might say is sort of in third place, Matthew Sorg, that's a familiar with folks here in the community, so that's always nice to have a name people recognize. And then the other two candidates, Jason Arp and Ryan Kunicki, those are, you know, they've been out campaigning, they have signs out, they've been going places and dropping literature. Arp was actually involved in Christopher Judy's campaign last year. He managed to knock off an incumbent and is now a member of the Indiana General Assembly. And so you know if you're handicapping this one, you'd probably have to say he should be the person who's in the lead because he can simply mobilize a lot of that campaign from last year to his advantage this year, which is not an uncommon thing for people to do. And so, you know, it'll be interesting because it's a three-way race, and that means you don't need a really large percentage to win. But if it were being handicapped, ARP would probably be in the front, but you really can't rule out anyone right now.
Okay, we need to talk about this at-large race for city council. 16 people in total in the race right now. By the time the November general elections are over, that will be down to three people holding the office. Andy, what do you make of this kind of free-for-all on both the Democratic and Republican sides of the race?
Yeah, folks who walk in to vote in the Republican primary, they're going to see seven names in front of them. They get to pick three. Folks who walk in and select that Democratic ballot, they're going to see nine names. They also can vote for as many as three. City elections bring out a lot of competition, and I think it's in part because if you look historically, while almost every county race goes to Republicans, you see Democrats managing to win a fair number of races at the municipal level, which makes it much more interesting, and it makes it much more competitive. And so if people who are thinking about trying to serve in their community and give something back, those who are making a calculation may say, hey, wait a minute, I'm a Democrat and that looks like the better option for me, so I'll go ahead and run there. But at the same time, it's an attractive seat for Republicans because we are talking about a city that leans conservative, leans Republican, so why not try and go after that? And let's remember, only one of the three sitting members at large right now is actually running for re-election. So we technically have two open seats. That has a tendency to bring out even more folks.
How do voters make that decision, though? I mean, if you're because typically, you know, folks who vote in general elections are they're used to voting for one or the other. Suddenly you're presented with seven names, nine names. That's got to be hard for both the voter and for the individual candidate trying to get their name out there.
Yeah, there are several strategies that candidates will take here. Some candidates recognize they may not ever be the most popular candidate with everyone, and they literally are telling people, well, make sure I'm your second favorite or I'm your third favorite. Because if you consistently come in second or third on everyone's ballot, hey, you're going to make the final run here. Others would go out and actually suggest that their supporters do what we call bullet voting, which means to vote for me only and don't increase anyone else's vote totals by voting for them, which is, I mean, it's a simple mathematical thing, and it makes an awful lot of sense. But the problem here is the volume. I mean, voters are going to have to spend some time trying to figure out who it is they like here. I won't be surprised if a fair number of voters go in and are able to select one or two because they've heard from them. Maybe someone stopped by the house, sent them a piece of mail or something like that, and then leave that third vote uncast. And then other people will simply look at it and say, wait a minute, do I know any of these folks? And really, on both sides, there are names people will recognize, either from earlier runs for office or because of community involvement that those folks have. So I think most voters could pick three if they really wanted to. They'll find three names they recognize, but whether they remember they like the name they recognize or not is something we'll have to wait and see.
Well, who are the voters who are typically coming out to municipal primary elections? We know primaries are often have very low turnout. What does this combination bring out in terms of the type of voter who's going to the polls?
Yeah, to drive the point home about the potential for low turnout, several municipal elections ago down in Indianapolis, they had 9% turnout in the primary election, which gives people an idea of how low it is. We don't typically end up that low up here, but it can get really, really low. We are talking about people who are very loyal members of the party. These are people who are willing to answer the question, are you a Democrat or a Republican? And not only will they answer it, but they can pull out their card and show it to you that says, yes, I'm a card-carrying member of the party. We also, though, have a fair number of people who will participate because they know someone who's running. Because remember, we're talking about fairly small areas when we're talking about district-level offices. Someone may say, you know what, that's my neighbor, that's somebody who lives in my neighborhood association, or I work with that person. So I am going to, unlike every other election, show up and vote in a primary election because I like so-and-so and I want to show my support to that person.
We're almost out of time here, Andy, but looking around the rest of Allen County here, any races that you're keeping a particularly close eye on?
Well, I think what a lot of people are going to notice when they look around the area is whether they're looking at Grable or New Haven or Leo Cedarville, they're going to see an awful lot of races where there is only one candidate listed and no one running on the opposite side, and that one candidate who's listed is an incumbent. And I guess that's going to make some people ask a couple of questions, and one of them is there no competition because everyone's happy, which certainly could be the case, or is there no competition because we just don't have folks who are that interested in being involved? Obviously, the second one is somewhat problematic. The first one, you know, people would say, if that's the reason we don't have contested elections, that's not a bad reason to avoid contested elections. You know, candidates want to win, as they should, but for a lot of communities, you know, I'm sure there are candidates who'd be happy to have a little competition.
Andy Downs from the Mike Downs Center for Indiana Politics. Thank you so much for being with us today.
Thanks for having me.